Okay, case number 521-376. Morning, everyone.
Morning.
Start with issuing authority. Counsel, can you please identify yourself and your witness for the record?
Good morning. I am Attorney Cynthia E. Salas. I represent the Commissioner of the Department of Emergency Services and Public Protection in this revocation hearing, and my witness is Trooper Mark Chuddy of the Connecticut State Police.
Thank you, Attorney Salas. Counsel, can you please identify yourself for the record?
Yes, good morning, Madam Chair, members of the board, Attorney John Drapp representing the appellate.
Okay, Attorney Salas, would you like to make the opening statement?
I would. We are here today because the appellant's pistol permit was revoked based on suitability grounds. We will present evidence that the appellant was found by the Connecticut State Police highly intoxicated in possession of a firearm after he struck another vehicle and evaded the scene.
Thank you. Attorney Drapp, would you like to make an opening statement?
No, I would wait that, Madam Chair.
Okay, you may proceed.
Trooper Chuddy? Trooper Chuddy, would you please state and spell your name?
My name is Mark Chuddy. Last name is C-H-U-D-Y. First name is M-A-R-K.
And where are you currently employed, sir?
Connecticut State Police, Troop L Barracks.
And what do you do there?
I work as a state trooper on midnight shift.
Okay. And were you working as a trooper in the Connecticut State Police on October 28th, 2020?
Yes, I was.
And were you dispatched to a report of an invading vehicle that day?
Yes, I was.
And where were you dispatched to?
The area of exit 23 on I-84 East.
And at what time of day?
Approximately 10 p.m.
Okay. And what did you encounter when you got there?
So upon my arrival, I was met by two other troopers who had had already encountered the appellate. It was in the left lane, near the left shoulder to center median. I was met by Trooper Corey, who stated he had spoken to the appellate. He had asked the appellate if he remembered the accident, if he hit anything, and he also asked if he had anything to drink. The appellate replied to Trooper Corey, said that it was stupid and I had too much to drink.
Madam Chair, at this point, I'm going to object in terms of anything my other troopers might have said, unless this trooper has direct knowledge or observations in that regard.
The objection is sustained. Sir, can you just testify based on what your own personal recollection is without quoting other officers?
Yes.
Thank you. Trooper, sorry.
Okay. So upon meeting the appellate, he was standing in the left shoulder next to another trooper. When I approached the appellate, I asked him if he had been drinking prior to operating his vehicle. He stated, yes, sir. I asked how many drinks did he have tonight. He said, undetermined. I asked when was the last time he had something to drink. The appellate stated, not long before I came back on the road from Monroe. I asked the appellate where he was drinking and what he was drinking. He stated he could not recall. During the question, I observed his eyes that were glassy, and there was an odor of alcohol coming from his breath. Based on those observations, I performed the standardized field sobriety test, the horizontal gaze nystagmus, one-legged stand, and the walk and turn. The appellate did not perform those two standard. Based on those findings, the appellate was placed under arrest for operating under the influence.
Okay, thank you. And just to back up a little bit, when you first got there, can you explain for the board what you saw in terms of the appellant's vehicle? What condition was the vehicle in? And what did you learn about what had happened with the vehicle?
So I was to recall exactly what the vehicle looked like. I do not. I just do remember the vehicle was disabled in the left lane near the left shoulder. That vehicle was responsible for an accident that occurred at around the exit 23, I believe, when I encountered the appellate in his vehicle. It was around the exit 25 or 26. He had struck another vehicle and invaded that scene. That's all I can recall from that.
Okay. And did the appellant have a firearm on him, on himself, on his body?
And my accounts are no. Again, I cannot speak to at what point that firearm was taken off the appellant from another trooper.
Okay. I will just add that the report is in evidence for the board, and the report does contain the statements of the other officers. So he would be testifying from the report. So given that, sir, can you share your understanding of what happened, not just when you got there, but when the other troopers got there?
Yes, I just have to go back to the question of it. Again, upon my arrival to the scene and speaking with the other trooper that had already encountered the appellate, the other trooper informed me that he had spoken to the appellate. I had asked him if he had been drinking, how much. To state exactly, the appellate responded to the other trooper, stupid, I had too much to drink. The other trooper had asked the appellate what he had hit. He stated he could not recall. The other trooper asked the appellate what caused his lapse in memory. The appellate stated alcohol.
Madam Chair, at this point I'm going to object, because if the state indicates that the report is in evidence, which I'm not really sure how hearsay would have been offered without my opportunity to object, but to the extent that that is the case, then this is cumulative of facts already in evidence.
The objection is sustained.
Okay. Trooper Chuddy, so is it your understanding that the appellant was intoxicated when he got there?
Yes.
And also that the appellant crashed into another vehicle and then evaded the scene?
Correct.
Okay. And did you personally conduct the field sobriety test on the appellant?
I did.
Okay. And was the appellant over the limit?
He was.
How much over the limit was he?
Approximately 2 times the legal limit.
Approximately 2 times the legal limit, okay. Let's see. Did you decide to arrest the appellant?
I did.
And what did you charge him with?
The appellant was charged with carrying a firearm while under the influence of drug and alcohol, operating under the influence, evading responsibility, of a motor vehicle accident, and failure to maintain the proper lane.
Okay. And do you know what happened with his firearm and his permit?
The firearm was seized and put into evidence, and then the permit was sent to the state police firearm. Yeah.
Thank you. I have no further questions.
Thank you, counsel. Attorney Drapp, Crawford.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Trooper, who, if you recall, was the first trooper on scene?
I do not recall who the first trooper was on scene.
Okay.
I know I was met by Trooper Corey and Trooper Bonte.
Okay, so let me ask you like this then. Were you the first trooper on scene?
I was not.
Okay. One of the other two was?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And by the time that you had interacted with the appellant, had the appellant already been disarmed?
Yes, sir.
Do you know which trooper disarmed him?
I believe it was Trooper Corey.
And to your knowledge, was the fact that the appellant was carrying a gun something that the appellant made the trooper aware of?
That I'm not aware of.
Were you present on the scene when the appellant was physically disarmed?
No, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have nothing else.
Does the board have any questions of the trooper?
I have one. What was the nature of the accident? What happened? What did he hit? How did he hit?
He struck another vehicle. If I would, I would have to refer back to the statement of the person that was struck. So, just to, I guess, summarize the statement of the victim of the accident. She was traveling east on 84.
Madam Chair, I'd object to that.
I think
I'm just reading from the statement from the report.
I just wanted to, in my opinion, we tend to allow hearsay in the, it's a much more informal.
I understand. Chief, I have a record to protect them.
I understand. I know, so, you can object. I just, so it seems like we're cutting them off a lot sooner than we have in the past.
We are cutting them off, but we're reading from a report that we have here.
It's an evidence.
The accident report's in there too.
I see the accident report. Where's the narrative that you're reading from?
I'm reading from the arrest report.
There's that.
Yeah, it's in there.
This statement probably would have been attached to the case.
Yeah, we have the information. I'm trying to.
Yeah, we have the
while
information.
He's protecting a record, I'm trying to get make sure we have the facts and get it on the record.
The objection is noted, but we're reading the same statement he is. So
I understand it, Madam Chair. I was, if you found the statement, I was going to say, because at least in the materials that I have, it seemed like there was one report that was the accident report, and then there was another one with the accident report actually attached to the incident report in the 844 as well. I say that only because if it's not in what you're looking at, I think it might have been in a different format.
Trooper, is it what you're reading for from, does
I'm
that look like that?
I'm not reading from the accident report, I'm reading
oh,
from the
you're reading
report.
From the incident report.
Incident report.
I just want to know what we're looking at.
So page 5 of 5, it says.
Thank you. Looks more like this?
Yes.
Okay. All right. The objection is overruled. It is noted. We do have the statement in front of us, so I'm not sure it's really going to add more, but you may proceed if you'd like to answer that question.
If need be, she was traveling east near the area of exit 22, and she states that a vehicle behind her began to flash high beams at her. She moved into the left. The vehicle then moved into the left lane to pass her, at which time it struck the driver's side quarter panel of the vehicle, causing her vehicle to swerve into the right lane. The vehicle that struck hers continued to travel eastbound without stopping. She called 911.
Okay, thank you. Do you know what happened in court?
I do not.
Other questions by the board? Seeing none, any other witnesses?
No other witnesses.
Okay.
Madam Chair, if I may ask a follow-up based on that?
You may.
Thank you. Trooper, where was it, that incident that you just referred to with the person that was driving the car that had been struck, that was at exit 22, you said?
According to what she said in her statement, yes, it was in the area of exit 22.
And do you recall where it was that the appellant was located by you, or I suppose you, in connection with the other troopers?
Where he was approximately at exit 25A, okay. In the center, close to the center median.
And do you have any knowledge as to the approximate distance between those two exits?
Just an estimate of 3 to 5 miles would be a guess, maybe more.
Thank you, Trooper. I have nothing else, Madam Chair.
Okay. Any other follow-up questions? Okay, Attorney Draft, you may proceed with your case.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Sir, how old are you?
Me?
Yes.
I'm 48.
And on the night of October 28th, 2020, do you recall where you were that evening?
I was in Monroe at my Union Hall for an OSHA 10 class.
And could you tell the members of the board what that means, what that class was, in other words?
OSHA 10, it's a 10-hour course by OSHA. Occupational Safety Health Administration, required to resume work in the construction field.
And do you work in the construction field?
I'm an electrician.
How long have you been an electrician for?
Since 1999.
And prior to being an electrician, was there a period of time from when you became an electrician and left high school that there was something else that you did?
I was in the Marines.
How long were you in the Marines for?
4 years.
And what rank did you achieve?
Corporal.
What was the nature of your discharge?
Honorable.
Need to speak up a little bit, please, just a little, please.
Me or him?
Both of you.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I can hear you, but he needs to speak up a little bit more.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you were at this OSHA class. What, if anything, did you do after the class ended?
Afterwards, me and some of my union brothers were hanging out in the parking lot, and a bottle got broken out. And because due to pandemic and lockdown and various work situations, we all just kind of unwound a little bit and had a few drinks.
Do you recall how many drinks that you had?
I do not.
Did you plan on drinking that night?
No.
So why did you?
Caught in the moment.
How long was this class that you were attending?
It was broken up. It's 10 hours. It was broken up for 2 days. So I think the first night was 6 hours. The second night was 4.
And which night was this?
This was the second night.
So it was 4 hours?
Yeah.
And you recall what time the class ended?
About 9:30-ish, maybe 9.
Had you eaten that night?
I don't think I did.
And at the time, well, let me ask you like this. Do you recall what time it was that you left the union hall?
I do not.
At that point, you obviously got behind the wheel of the car, right?
Correct.
Okay. At that particular point in time, did you believe that you were not intoxicated?
At that time, yes.
Do you dispute the fact now that, in fact, you were intoxicated at that point?
No.
So what happened after you left the union hall?
Proceeded to I-84, using the usual route, going up Route 25. And then that's really pretty much all I can add. I mean,
okay. So when you say you left Monroe, you went up Route 25, I imagine, into Newtown?
Correct.
Got on 84?
Correct.
Do you know what exit it was that you might have gotten on 84?
I believe that's the exit 11 area.
Now, at some point, let's strike that. Do you recall hitting anybody that night?
I don't recall, no.
Do you recall your car crashing?
Yes.
After the car crashed, what happened?
I waited for the police. I knew there was no leaving or anything.
Did the police eventually arrive?
Yes.
And that was the Connecticut State Troopers?
I believe so.
There were a few of them?
Yes.
Okay. Were you asked by Trooper Chuddy, actually, were you asked by any trooper if you had been drinking?
Yes.
And what did you respond to them?
Yes.
Did the troopers, one or more of them, ask you if you had any weapons on you?
Yes.
And if you recall, what was your response to that question?
I told them that I had a pistol in my pocket that I pointed to, and that I had a permit in my wallet that I also pointed to, and I didn't reach for anything.
And what happened next to your recollection?
I think he reached into my pocket and pulled it out, and it let me take out the permit.
And did the, whatever trooper it was that retrieved the firearm, was that without incident?
Yes.
In other words, you didn't fight them, or
no.
You weren't combative?
Not at all.
Did they have their weapons drawn on you at any point?
No.
Do you believe, to the extent that you recall, that you were fully cooperative with the troopers?
Yes.
Now, why did this incident, happen?
because I lost sight on what I was there for and let myself have too many drinks.
How often do you drink?
Not often.
And is that as of today that you're saying that?
No. It's been a few years. I found fitness over drinking.
Do you still drink today?
Seldom.
And could you define for the members of the board seldom?
Maybe once a month, a few beers with dinner.
And nothing more than that?
Yeah.
Is it limited to beer?
Yeah.
And how long has that been the case for you?
It's hard to answer. It was mostly that before the incident. Obviously not the night of.
Now, in connection with the court case, because you were arrested, right?
Correct.
Okay. And you went to court for that? Correct?
Correct.
And in connection with that case, was there any opportunity or did the court order any sort of evaluation to determine whether or not any treatment for any type of substance was necessary?
Part of the probation had me go to alcohol treatment for an evaluation, and they felt that no treatment was needed.
That was the result of the evaluation?
Correct.
Do you currently use any substances other than alcohol?
No.
And again, your alcohol use is limited as you indicated?
Yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have nothing further.
Thank you, Counsel. Attorney Salas, do you have cross?
I do. So, sir, you say that this was due to the pandemic and lockdown that you had a few drinks. Is that your testimony to the board?
It's a contributing factor. I haven't seen my union brothers in a good long while. The reason I drank was because I didn't say no.
What were you drinking?
I believe it was a bourbon. I don't know what brand.
Do you know how many drinks of bourbon you had?
I do not.
Okay. Did you have your firearm with you as you were drinking?
Yes.
Okay. And you said you lost sight of what you were there for, so you had a few drinks. Do you know that it is a crime to carry a firearm while under the influence of alcohol?
Yes.
Okay. And do you remember hitting another vehicle that night?
Very vaguely.
Very vaguely? So your entire recollection of that night is vague?
Fair to say, yes.
Okay. Okay. Do you recall exiting the scene?
No.
Okay. Okay. Do you remember your interactions with the state police when they got there?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember saying to a trooper, I am not going to get by on this one?
No.
Okay. Your attorney has the police report. If you want to refer to the police report, page 205, if that would refresh your recollection.
I've seen the report.
Okay. Do you remember seeing that in the report?
I haven't seen it. I can't say I remember saying it.
Okay. Do you know what you would have meant by that?
Referring to drinking and driving.
I am not going to get by on this one?
Referring to drinking and driving.
Okay. Now, your attorney asked you about your court case. When you went to court, to criminal court for this, did you apply for accelerated rehabilitation, otherwise known as AR?
No.
Why not?
I had used it previously.
Okay. Did you use it previously in a drinking and driving case?
Madam Chair, I'm going to object to the premise of the question because the accelerated rehabilitation is not a program that can be used for drinking under the influence. There's a separate program.
Yeah. Couldn't they have used it for evading, though?
That wasn't the question, which is exactly the reason why.
Why don't we allow the question, then you can probably follow up to clarify if needed.
Did you use it for the evading charge?
No.
Okay. I don't have any further questions.
And, sir, you had previously been arrested for drinking under the influence, correct?
Yes.
And you had used the alcohol education program as a means of disposing of that case, correct?
Yes.
When was that case?
2018.
And as a consequence of that arrest and your participation in the AEP program, what happened to that case?
It was thrown out.
I'm sorry?
It was thrown out.
Okay. How long have you had a permit?
Since 2009.
And that incident was in 2018?
Correct.
Was your permit revoked as a consequence of that incident?
No.
And could you tell us briefly what the series of events was with respect to that incident?
I was leaving an establishment in Wallingford. It was the first night of summer and I was on my motorcycle and I was a little bit throttle happy. So I got pulled over for speeding. Officer asked me if I had anything to drink. I told him yes. He asked why. I told him me and a friend split a couple of pitchers with dinner. And then he wasn't happy with the field sobriety, so he brought me in. And they had me breathalyze at 081. And then again at 074.
In connection with the incident that brings us here today, what was the disposition of that charge, if you recall?
I pled guilty.
What was the charge that you pled guilty to?
Driving under influence.
And do you have any recollection as to what the disposition for any of the other charges was?
There were no other charges.
Well, you heard the trooper testify that you had been arrested for a number of things. I understand you may not have pled guilty to those, but my question is, what is your understanding of how those charges were disposed of since you only pled guilty to the operating under the influence charge?
To my knowledge, they were dropped.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have nothing else.
Is there any follow-up, counsel?
I have no follow-up.
Does the board have any questions of the appellant?
I do.
Start with Attorney Sinetti.
Okay. From the records we have, the gun was loaded that was taken from you? Was there a round in the chamber?
Yes.
And you habitually carry the gun with a round in the chamber? Okay. All right. Well, we've gone over the behavior leading up to this, so that clarifies that. Thank you.
Chief, did you have a
question? Yes, I do. You were arrested for DUI in 2018. Did you have a gun with you then?
No.
Okay, and you said you pled guilty to that DUI. Is that what happened, or did you get the program and get it dismissed?
No, not the first one.
That's what I'm talking about, the first one. Maybe I misunderstood.
There was no guilty plea.
No? So what happened in court with the first one?
They put me into the classes.
Okay, and you took the classes?
Yeah.
You successfully completed them?
Correct. And that was pretty much the end of it. I didn't even go back to court after that.
Right, that was 2018. Then in 2020, after having been arrested for DUI, attending the classes, successfully completing them, you got it. You were drunk again and driving. Is that correct? And this time with a firearm.
Correct.
And this time you were found guilty of the drunk driving.
Correct.
Are you still on any type of probation or anything?
No, my probation ended in December, I believe.
And you were on a motorcycle the first time?
Yes.
Okay. So that was 2 years ago, so 18, 20. Why would the board make the assumption that you wouldn't get arrested for DUI with a firearm in 2021, 2023, 24, 25. What's changed?
Well, leading up to the first one, it took me 45 years to get in trouble. And after the second one, I've already begun changing my life, really.
Okay, you've begun changing your life?
For the positive, yes.
But when someone says to me, I've begun something, it means you're not finished.
We never finish.
Okay. You and your appellant questionnaire said you made one lapse in judgment. What was that lapse in judgment?
Not saying no to alcohol when I had my gun on me and I had to drive.
Okay, that's three. That's the way I looked at it, too. It wasn't one lapse, it was... decided to drink while you were carrying a gun, you drove the car, you had an accident, you left the scene of the accident, you crashed. Did you call the police after the accident?
I did not.
Do you know who did?
No.
Were you going to call the police?
No.
Did you try to get your car out of the median or however you were stuck? I'm not sure exactly how you were stuck. Was your car disabled or could you have driven it?
I'm pretty sure it was disabled.
Okay, but you were not going to call the police at that point?
I knew that the cops were going to be called.
How'd you know that?
Because I was in an accident on I-84.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Other questions by the board? Any follow-up from either counsel?
No.
Other witnesses?
None.
Would you like to make a closing statement?
Just that I did submit within the period provided reference letters on behalf of the appellate. And to the chief's point, I understand the chief's point. I suppose it is a degree of measurement because I completely understand what the chief is saying about it being more than one lapse in judgment. But I think that what the appellant is saying is that was the catalyst. In other words, as frequently happens with alcohol, that lapse then produce subsequent lapses, which is exactly the danger of alcohol, is that judgment is affected. I think the appellant recognizes that. To his point, he went a major stretch in his life without incident. Granted, there were two issues in a relatively short period of time, and that was the reason why I did not want to hide that fact from the board, particularly since I know the members of the board, and I know particularly the chief, having been up here on a few occasions. You don't get to the fact that you have a DUI conviction without having previously used the program in most circumstances. So that is certainly something that we were not trying to hide. Wanted to make sure that that was in the record. But the appellant's history at his age, his gainful employment, his service in the military, he has taken ownership for this. He has gone through the process. He stands convicted with that conviction at that point. To his credit, I suppose maybe not even necessarily to his credit, but the fact that he was involved with the Office of Adult Probation as a consequence of that conviction and the evaluated process that was utilized by probation did not recommend any treatment, as he testified. That is, I don't want to say unheard of, but certainly rare, because frequently some degree of treatment is necessary. So I think that that is buttressing the fact that this was, and I know this is cliche, but this truly was an isolated incident that night in the parking lot. While I realized that there was a prior incident, I don't believe that that situation that happened in the Union Hall parking lot is likely to repeat itself, because it sounds like it was the product of having been distanced from a number of the people that he had socialized with, and this was an opportunity that presented itself, and to his discredit, he partook in it, which he has acknowledged. So I don't believe that this incident or even series of incidents rises to the level of suitability, because I don't think that this is something that would repeat itself.
Thank you, Counsel. Attorney Sells?
Yeah. So Counsel says that there were two issues in a relatively short period of time. Not only were there in a relatively short period of time, they were actually also very, very recent. During the span of 2 years, by his own admission, the appellant, due to being throttle happy and due to the pandemic lockdown, he has put the public at risk by driving under the influence. And the second occasion, he was actually carrying a loaded firearm. Therefore, the department still does not believe that the appellant is well suited to carry a firearm in public, and we ask the board to rule in favor of the issuing authority.
Thank you, Counsel. Comments by the board?
I won't make any more comments on the nature of the incident, except just to point out that, as we all know, I think that the next DUI would be a felony conviction and permanently disbar someone from having a firearm, if there were a next DUI.
Other comments? Seeing none, Dr. Conrad.
Issuing authority.
Attorney Sinetti.
Issuing authority.
Colonel Lewis.
Issuing authority.
Chief Rosenzweig.
Issuing authority.
And Acting Chair votes issuing authority at this time.